As we heard earlier, Egypt's ruling military council has decided it will control the writing of the country's new constitution, and Egypt's newly elected politicians, notably the Muslim Brotherhood, are not happy about that. They're trying to figure out how to wrench power from the army and give it to the elected parliament. Well, they might want to look to Indonesia for advice. A revolution there cut short military rule and produced a fledgling democracy. Reporter Julia Simon explored that potential parallel with some Indonesians now living in Cairo.
At a Thai restaurant near Al-Azhar University, two Indonesian grad students eat tom yam soup and fried rice. In the next room, some patrons turn on the TV to watch protests in downtown Cairo. 35-year-old Indonesian theology student Rafli Sharkawi Zain says that as he watches the 20-something activists in Tahrir, he thinks about when he was a 20-something activist in May 1998.
I was a college student in Jakarta, and I was part of the student movement against the regime of President Suharto. We had networks of student groups at universities across Jakarta to spread the news about the protests. There are similarities with Egypt. The word of the day was change. We also had a repressive and authoritarian regime, and we wanted change.
Much like Egypt's Hosni Mubarak, Indonesia's Suharto ran a centralized, military-dominated government. And the two also shared similar reputations for corruption and repression. In the late 1990s, peaceful pro-democracy demonstrations in Indonesia played out much as they did in January in Cairo. The police killed protesters, which then fueled public rage against the state. Rafli, who goes by one name, says that what Indonesia did so well, and what Egypt is finding hard to do, was get rid of the generals in charge. This past spring, Indonesia's Minister of Foreign Affairs made a visit to Cairo for a meeting with his Egyptian counterpart. Marty Natalegawa says the process that Indonesians call reformasi, or reformation, is hard but not impossible.
The military, it used to sit in our parliament, which it no longer does. But I think the lessons learned for us is that it is possible for a democratization process to result in a return of the military to its what must be its original function, namely to protect the country from external threats.
And that's exactly why Indonesian theology student Rafli says Egyptian activists need to join political parties and make constitutional reforms from inside the parliament. He says some of his Indonesian activist friends from college in Jakarta now work for Golkar, which was once Suharto's party. But Egyptian political activist Ahmed Salah disagrees. He says because the Egyptian army is still in control, the parties are forced to make bargains and play games, and he doesn't want to be a part of it.
I would share the idea of wanting to be in a political party once you can get a successful revolution, when you get rid of the corrupt regime fully. But right now, we are still fighting. And when you are fighting, you cannot do politics. These are two different issues.
Rafli admits that even though the army is no longer in parliament, the reformasi in Indonesia is far from over. Corrupt former army generals still own large parts of the economy and the rainforest. And just last month, a notorious Suharto-era army man announced that he's running for president in 2014. The former head of the special forces is appealing to farmers and workers. For The World, I'm Julia Simon, Cairo.